in the book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons out of 2 Samuel. So get close to your radio now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Come on, 2 Samuel chapter 24. We have made our way through the book of 1 Samuel, and now we're coming to the close of the book of 2 Samuel. But we are not coming to the close of the life of David yet. We still got a little more study on the life of David. When we come to 2 Samuel 24, 2 Samuel 24 is one of the great chapters in the Bible, for it is a chapter that deals with the great sin of David. Can anybody tell me what was the greatest sin of David? All right, amen. God bless you. Amen. This chapter here is the great chapter because it deals with the greatest sin of David. Now, most of us would think 2 Samuel chapter 11 is the chapter that dealt with David's great sin. What happened in 2 Samuel chapter 11? Bible scholars. Amen. That's when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. But adultery is a great sin. As a matter of fact, it is often frowned upon as like the greatest sin in the church. But we'll see what David thought and what God thought was even something greater than the sin of adultery. And we'll see that tonight in our lesson. Look here, beginning in chapter 24, verse number 1. It says, "And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. For the king said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba." Dan is the north, Beersheba is the most southern city. "And number ye the number of the people, that I may know the number of the people." Now, David is coming to the end of his life. And David done fought a bunch of battles, hadn't he? How many battles did David lose along the way? We're looking at a man that never lost a battle. And he's coming to the end, and he want to know, how many men's is up under me? Mm-hmm. I just wonder, you know, how many folks is in the nation, particularly the men's. And so he said, "Joab, go out and number them," because kings like to brag about how big a nation they have, don't they? Yeah, they try to toot their horn. Why is it that governors in the state of Texas often brag a lot? Huh? Have you ever noticed that? The governor of Rhode Island, he don't brag never about as much as the governor of Texas. Huh? I always wanted, you know, the boys and girls dream about coming to Texas. Not too many folks dream about going to Rhode Island or anything. Why is that? Texas is big, isn't it? When I first came to Texas, I saw signs saying, you know, oh, we got, you know, you go to a restaurant and you see on the menu, Texas-sized toast. I said, oh, I'm going to get me some of that. Texas-sized toast. And you're driving down the street, you would see a sign said, Texas-sized hamburgers. I said, oh, I'm going to have to go there and get me one of them Texas. I'm through with McDonald's. I'm going to get me a Texas-sized hamburger. Everything seemed to be a little bigger in Texas. And folks in Texas brag a lot. That's what they say, you know. That's what they say. Have y'all heard that, folks? In Big D, you know, when I had went to Chicago, but I said I can't wait to see Big D. I know Dallas probably bigger than Chicago. I don't care what them folks say. They say Chicago is bigger, but I know Big D. And when I came to Dallas, I was surprised at how little Dallas was. I said, why? But then I found out Dallas have more millionaires than most cities have. Yeah. They were talking about big dollars when they talk about Big D. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so folks kind of like to brag when you have a lot. Just like we do in church, don't we? You don't find too many people bragging when they got 10 folks in the church. They're going to a church with 10. But if they go to a church of 10,000, yeah, I'm one of his members over there. Hello, somebody. And I always ask, have you met him? Have you ever went to dinner with him? Hello, somebody. Amen. Praise the Lord. But folks often like to brag on numbers. We get into the number game. So David, he come to the end of his life, and he's in the number game. You know, particularly when you can't hardly fight no more, when you just about confined now to a wheelchair. About the only thing you can do now in David's mind is start reflecting on his past accomplishments and what he got. So David now is thinking about how many men is in his kingdom. What's wrong with thinking like that? Huh? What do a worldly man think about? He think about numbers, don't he? Think about numbers. Why, you in church on Sunday, and somebody else may not go to church, but they'll brag about, well, you know, I got 3 cars parked in the garage. See that car right there? I got 3 more in the garage. Hello, somebody. In other words, see, I don't really need God. That's the mindset, isn't it? See, I got this without God. That's the mindset. You think about it, how many folks don't go to church today, but it looks like they just be blessed more than you. And it's just about, if you ain't careful, you'll just about slip and start following them rather than them following you. Man, they got that much and ain't going to church. What is I'm doing wrong? Huh? You ain't doing nothing wrong. You doing a lot right. God just blessing them because this day heaven. If a man don't believe in Jesus, this day heaven. This the best it's going to get. Hello, somebody. And rather than being envy and jealous, we need to be feeling sorry for them. Man, I wouldn't trade this lit earth down here for the real heaven. Hello, somebody. Because everything down here, moth and dust, gonna corrupt and thieves gonna break through and steal it. Is that right? I mean, whatever you have, you can buy a brand new car today. And soon as you drive it off the parking lot, it's $5,000 done depreciated. If you try to take it back and give it back to the man, you won't get the same amount of money for it. Hello, but when you get to heaven, don't nothing depreciate. Man, heaven is so rich, they tell me that the streets are paved. Now, that's where I want to go. I want to go where the asphalt is gold. I wouldn't mind picking up some of that asphalt and putting it in my pocket. Hello, hello, somebody. Amen. Amen. But just think now, the mindset, David, we're talking about David. The man that wrote the 23rd song is thinking just like a heathen man. See, there ought to be a difference in how a Christian man think and a heathen man think. Hello, somebody. Oh, you know, we're at Christmas time now. Can I throw this in? We're at Christmas time now. And Christians ought to be thinking different than worldly people. The day of Christmas or the day after Christmas, if you didn't get what you wanted, you ought not have a bad, nasty attitude. You ought to be thankful that you got the real gift anyway. Hello, somebody. And you ought to be sorry, feeling sorry for the person who got some material thing but don't have Jesus. Or we got to get the right perspective here. See, you may not get nothing for Christmas, but you got it all already if you got Jesus. Talk, somebody. Amen. David here is thinking worldly, y'all. That's what I want you to see. This man is thinking worldly. And notice, even old worldly Joab thinking better than David. Look here in verse number 3. And Joab said to the king, "Now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, and 100-fold, that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing?" Why are you getting excited about counting folks at this time in your life, David? God can give you so many people. He can give you 100-fold of what you already got. Now, ain't this some old crazy Joab is thinking? When Joab is thinking better than David, man, some is really. When Joab is thinking more spiritual than David, when somebody that's worldly, that you know worldly, is thinking more spiritual than you, you ought to start checking yourself. Do you know worldly people can spot worldliness in you? Huh? They can spot it. Amen. A womanizer can spot it in a Christian who's getting ready to slip and chase some women. Hello, just like an alcoholic can spot it when somebody done. I think Brother Pastor is dipping in some. Amen. Because hadn't you noticed? They done changed the grape juice to Morgan David wine. And the pastor stand back there a little bit long talking about he getting rid of the juice. Not only would the alcoholic be the spot that, everybody else going to be the spot that. Because if he stay back there too long with that Morgan David wine, he going to be tipping out of there. Yeah. All right. But notice this the thing that shocked me. Oh, Joab, when Joab become your counselor, oh my goodness, it's time to wake up. But David is drunk on success at this time. Notwithstanding, the king's words prevail against Joab and against the captains of the host. Notice, captains with an S. Is that right? So Joab and the generals, these the men's over David's army, they couldn't even talk David out of this. Do you know that's the hardest thing to do? Is to talk a sinner out of something. Huh? Have you ever known, have you ever just tried to go talk to somebody who's bent on doing wrong? Huh? Particularly when they got the upper hand on you. When, you know, they the leader in the family or something. It's hard. And they couldn't talk David out of this. And so they went on. It caused some problem. But before I go there, what was the big problem here with this census? He's taking a census, because this is what this is. Is that right? What was the big problem here? What was the difference between this sin and the sin of adultery? Do you see it? The sin of adultery was rushed. David saw Bathsheba and he said, just go get her. Huh? But this here was a calculated thing, something that David came up with. Then they went and talked to Joab. Then the leaders came in and they was trying to tell David no, but David, so some thinking went into this. So this wasn't a rush thing. This was a more of a calculated thing. This thing, when he sinned against Bathsheba or with Bathsheba, it just involved and brought problems to just David's family. But this here, he's going to involve the whole nation. See, that's why this sin is greater than the sin just with Bathsheba. Because now David finna mess up the whole country with this sin. Now, let's go on and look at chapter 30 of Exodus. I want you to see something. Because God had a problem with David on numbering the people. And what was the purpose, anyway, of numbering the people? Because God said that it was okay to do a census. But when David done this census, there was a problem. God even asked, when you read over here in Exodus chapter 30, God told him to take a census. But there was a problem when David took the census. Look here at chapter 30 of Exodus, verse number 11. It said, Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, when thou take the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall thou give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou number them, that there be no plague among them, when thou number them. This they shall give, everyone that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Now, God says, when you take a census, let me go ahead and finish verse number 14. Everyone that passes among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. God says, now, Moses, when y'all get, when you number the people, Moses, make sure, Moses, that you tie some money with it. You tie a temple offering with it. That people will know that the reason that they are living, it costs something. The reason that the nation have went from a little nation to a big nation, it costs something. The reason they went from just having a few to a thousand, it costs something. Remember, how did they get out of Egypt? That lamb, that little pretty little lamb, the little pet lamb, didn't it? They had to get their best pet lamb and kill it and take the blood and put the blood on the doorpost. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll just pass over that one because y'all already done paid. Life for life. And so God says, whenever you take a census, you make sure you tie some money with it that they'll know that freedom costs something. If you're going to be free, it costs something. David wasn't thinking from a biblical perspective, was it? He was just thinking like the heathen kings, go out there and count and find out how many people that's in my kingdom. That way that's going to make me look big as a big shot king. And God said, that's not what a census is all about. A census is to really show what God has done. God has multiplied you. God has grew you, but it costs you something. Amen. It costs something to get to that point. How many of you know that growth costs something? You can't even grow as a Christian unless it costs you something. It's going to cost you getting up in the morning, getting on your knees, reading your Bible. It's going to cost you even some McDonald's because you're going to have to push back McDonald's sometime. You're going to have to do some fasting. Let me tell you something. It's hard for God to deny a man who's willing to first deny himself. Did you hear what I said? It's hard for God to deny a man who's first willing to deny himself. When you begin to deny yourself, then God says, I can give that person anything. Why is that? Because that person got some discipline. What is it that keep you from giving your children all that you want to give them? They ain't got no discipline. You say, I ain't no give you. I'm not going to give you $10 because you don't know the value of one. Hello, somebody. If you was going to give somebody $100, one of your children $100, and they're just going to go and buy some bubble gum and candy. Huh? They're just going to go and say, I want all the Nana Leos that you got in the store. Give me all them Nana Leos. They still make Nana Leos now. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about up in here. Boy, I used to fight over Nana Leos. And I never knew the real name. It was now, you know, like N-O-W. And later. You better give them now, unless I'm going to put this on you.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.